Well, we've been dealing with some symbols of the church this morning. I'd like to pick up there and carry on in that thought. We've looked at the symbol that Jesus used as a pearl. We said His church was of great price. Said as a merchant man went out seeking goodly pearls, I'm glad He came a-looking for us. I'm glad the Bible said He sold all that He had and bought it. Oh, I am ever indebted to His good grace that a God like Him would give up everything to get something like me. So we see His church as a pearl of a great price. Then we seen that He had a house, this dwelling vessel. He said, if this house or this tabernacle were dissolved, I'm glad we have another in the glory of heaven. Not only a pearl of great price, but you'll reflect on that we said it was a house, a great place. Isn't it a great place that God would live in something like me and you? And then we looked at the church as the pillar and the ground of truth. What a great principle. A place to build your family. A place to bring your family. A place to better your family. I want to say my family is better this morning because of that great principle of the local church. I worry about people that's not hooked into a local church. Jesus died for the church. And I'm glad that the church is a great, great principle. And then we dealt lastly with that of the flock. Oh, He is the great shepherd this morning. The good shepherd. We've seen that the flock is a great picture. Said He left the 99 to go after that which was lost until He found it. I'm glad it's not by some type of luck or the draw of the card that He saved us. But He had His eye on us. I'm glad He come looking for us. And we've seen He left them other 99 in the wilderness. Can I tell you this is a place that is a great wilderness this morning. Don't be looking for much heaven here. Because heaven wouldn't be heaven there if it was heaven here. Matter of fact, you're going to find out more heartaches here, more hard times here, more heaviness here. But oh, young'uns, when we get there, it's going to be wonderful. And I praise Him this morning. Now, in your Bibles, I'd like to deal with this fifth truth found in Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 15. Ephesians 3 and verse number 15. If you'd stand with us for the reading of the honor and of the Word of God, found in the book of Ephesians 3 and verse number 15. I want to start in verse number 13 reading, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Thank you for standing this morning. Today I'd like to deal with this thought as a family, a great people, a great people. Matter of fact, before the grace of God, we were not a people. But God led us in His fold and made a people. Aren't you glad that the Jews rejected Him? So He turned to the Gentiles by grace, put us in by His tender favor into a wonderful family, which makes us a great people. I want to say the reason that this people is a great people is because they are a called people. 2 Thessalonians 2 And verse number 13, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, we are called people. Well, what are we called to be, Pastor? We're called to be saved. I'm glad Jesus still saves sinners. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, the Bible said, but we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know this. In order for you to be saved, you've got to believe. And truth has got to be shared. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you neglect to hear truth, if you reject truth, you'll die and go to hell in your sins. I'm glad one day an old preacher man was up a preaching truth. God ignited my heart. And I reached up by faith and ignited that truth. And I got birthed in the family of God. God don't save robots. You must believe that He is and that He's willing to save sinners. Oh, I'm glad I have believed truth. I'm glad I've not believed some kind of damnable heresy. I'm glad I've not believed in some kind of foreign religion. But I'm glad I believed in truth. And so He says, whereunto He called you by our gospel. Aren't you glad we have a gospel call today? Come one, come all, but you must all come by the way of the old rugged cross. Said, I called you by the gospel. What's the gospel? Oh, it's simply this, that God left heaven and got on an old rugged cross and died, that people like me and you may believe in Him and be born again by the sweet grace of God, that our names may be written in heaven, the Holy Ghost move in, and hell move out. Thank God this morning I've been called to salvation. That salvation call, ain't you glad the call's still going out? Honey, when this church is raptured out, the call will be gone. Oh, I'm glad of this old gospel call. This old 1611, inspired and infallible, inerrant Word of God. We don't need a new Bible this morning. It's still calling sinners. It's still getting the job done today in this age of grace. I'm glad the gospel call went out. I want to say He died for the white, for the black. Died for the rich and the poor. He died for wretches like me and you. That old gospel call. He said, I called you by the gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you've been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Our Lord Jesus Himself and God, even our Father who hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. I'm glad I'm saved by grace this morning. So a family of great people, they are called people. They're called to be saved. And then they're called to be saints. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 2, they're called to be saints. You'll notice here that the Bible says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, are set apart, called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. We're called, people. We're called to be saved, and we're called to be saints. I noted this little phrase down in my study time this week I thought was real good on this call to be saints. God found you, God accepted you, and God loved you the way you were. God loves you the way you were and the way you are, but He loves you way too much to let you stay that way. Boy, that's good, ain't it? He loves you too much to let you stay how you was. I'm closer to Jesus this morning. He's making a saint out of me. You say you don't act like it, that's why He's working on me. Sometimes I lose my temper. Any of y'all lose your temper? I can tell you got your little halos all trimmed up this morning. And a lot of you think you've done God a big favor getting down here, honey. But we ain't nothing but firewood for hell if it wasn't for the grace of God. We'd all be in hell this morning if it wasn't for a bloody cross and a loving God that drew us in the family. We're ever indebted. But thank God He's still working on us today. When I talk ugly, He's working on me. When I do something ugly, He's working on me. When I don't do right, He's making me do right. Yeah. Called to be saints. He ain't called for your hind end to sit on a pew. He called you to be somebody. Yeah, man. Saints. Thank God. Saints. Praise God. Look in there. He's making a saint out of you. Go look in there and do you good this morning. Man, are you making a saint out of me? That's amazing. Called to be saved. Called to be a saint. And then thirdly, we're called to be separate. Now I could run a big rabbit right there a little while. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 14. We're called to be separate. You don't hear much of this being preached today. Most churches look like a nightclub. Most women wear a dress about that tall to church. I know. You went down there to Belk's and you went down to Dillard's and has run that blue light special and you got it half price and you come out with half a dress. Hey, you ought to went on and spend a little more money and got something to cover you up. Shake that mule head this morning. He's called us to be separate. We ought to be a separate people. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I believe you ought to marry only those that are saved. You know, that's what's so bad about a pastor. He's got to perform them ceremonies. And you get one that you figure Brother Dennis is saved and the other's lost as a ball in high weeds. And I know I don't work for the FBI, but I do know this, Brother David. That Bible said I can be a fruit inspector. And if you ain't living for God, you've never been saved. So we're not supposed to join into a relationship with a believer and an unbeliever. I believe it in business. I believe it in business practices. You go to wanting to tithe on your business. Come here somewhere on, Brother Tim. You'll go to wanting to go to paying a tithe on your business and the blessings of God. Then your other business partner going to have the pooch flip. Your business partner may want to lie. You're not supposed to lie. Your business partner may want to cheat and steal. You ain't supposed to cheat and steal. We're supposed to be separate people. Don't be unequally yoked together. How in the world you say, well, I'm going to marry him and drag him to church? Are you crazy? If he won't go to church with you now, what makes you think he's going to go with you to church later? Right now, he's whining, dining you, honey. Right now, he's telling you everything you want to hear. And you better be careful of who you strike out with. You go out yonder in the world and get you a worldly gal, you go have your worldly wife. Now I do know God by His grace saves lost people. I'm glad He saved me. But I'm going to tell you a good Bible principle, honey. You better marry those that are saved, born again by the grace of God. Amen. You young girls ain't got no business dating these heathen boys. Earrings in their heads and blue hair. Man, I went down the mall last night in Douglas. It looked like Zoo Atlanta down there. I mean, you can't tell the difference between the girls and the boys. I mean, you can't tell no different. Boys, you ought to cut your hair and get the studs out of your tongues, out of your eyes, out of your nose. Look like some kind of heathen. What happened to boys looking like boys? And nobody had to wonder what I look like. Girls be girls. Now girls absolutely went wild. I noticed an advertisement the other day, you can rent a video. Girls gone wild. Honey, you ain't got to rent the video. Just go on down yonder to the mall at Douglasville. You ain't got to buy a tape. Girls gone wild, honey. Just open your eyes up. I wish my daddy was still raising girls. Called to be separate. He said this. 17. Wherefore come out from among them. And I'm going to tell you something. What I've learned. If you live like Jesus, they'll leave you. And be ye separate. That means to divide or sever, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, we're not better than nobody. We are to have some principles about us, about in our house, who we run with. And I realize this. We got to be a light to a dark and a dying world. I've never thought I was too good to eat with a sinner. But I'm going to tell you something. You run with that crowd, you'll be like them before long. And you better listen, though, preacher, this morning. Jesus said, come out from among them and be ye separate. So now, let me ask you something. Why shouldn't the church have better standards than what the world's got? The inside of the church ought to not look like the world. And the things of the world ought to not be going on in the church. Leadership in Baptist churches, for the most part, don't have a clue of what church is supposed to be. They're in numbers, they're in games and gimmicks and gadgets, and they went into the entertainment bit. They put Starbucks in the lobby. Honey, ain't nobody like good black coffee no better than me and Miss Sherry. I love coffee. If you come to my house, drink coffee, you better bring some cream with you, because I ain't got none. I love good coffee. But it ain't going to be in the foyer of our church. You hear me this morning? Hey, I love Dunkin' Donuts. I can walk by Brother Philip a honey bun and gain 3 pounds. Just walk by the rack. Ain't nobody love donuts better than me. But we're not going to compromise and come in the house of God eating donuts and drinking coffee and bringing the world in this place dressing, looking like a bunch of heathens. He said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Contemporary singing.
Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus.
They ain't got a clue what old time worship's about. Separate yourselves. Be you separate. Saith a bunch of little 21st century sissies.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him.
But David, I'm getting in that gear. You with me, brother?
Praise Him. Praise Him.
For long, you'll have a dress on. Bunch of 21st century sissies. Y'all just come on in. Give us your money. We don't care if you act like the devil or look like that. Just come on, man. We want our church big. Come on in the way you was and leave the way you come in. I didn't say that right. Come in the way you are. and leave the way you was. When you come to church, you ought to leave in better shape than how you come. Separate. Be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. And touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you. I want to say this. The proof's in the pudding. I'll take the glory this morning. Thank God the glory of God's in our church. Man, didn't we have a throwdown Sunday night? If y'all missed that service Sunday night, honey, oh, it was worth walking to get into. Ain't it something when the Spirit of God takes over a service? Most Baptists don't know what the Spirit of God is. I love it when we leave here and everybody looks like we've been tear gassed and mascara's run down all over you. It'll do you good to cry. Keep your head from swelling up. Family of great people. We're called people. And that leads me to number two. We ought to be a Christian people. Acts 11, verse number 26. Acts 11, 26. I'm glad I got started early this morning. I've got the ambition to get you out of here by 12. But we're probably not going to make it again. That's a quarter till. It's something about since I went in this full-time ministry, I just can't get it all said. Acts 11, 20. You'd rather for me to be trying to get something to preach to you, wouldn't you? Well, that's what my heart is these days. The Bible said, Acts 11, 26. When he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Came to pass a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church, taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Man, I wondered a lot of times what they seen to call them a Christian. We're called to be Christian people. I want to say their name, Christians. They've had a definite conversion. Let me tell you something. You coming to church don't no more make you a Christian than me walking into McDonald's make me a Big Mac. You can ask people, well, what are you? Are we Christian? Ain't been to church in 10 years and we're a Christian. We see their name, Christian. It stands for something. They've had a definite conversion in verse 23. The Bible said when he came, he seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them. Boy, ain't you glad that a Christian's got the grace of God on them? Their name, Christians. They've got a definite conversion. Verse 23, they got a deep conviction. Look what it said. They was glad, exhorted them all with purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. Deep conviction. Verse 23, a developing character. They would cleave unto the Lord. Friend, if you get saved, you'll know who Jesus is. Christian. The name, Christian. And then secondly, not only their name, but their need. I tell you what your need is as a Christian. Look in verse number 26. The Bible said that they assembled themselves a whole year with the church. Heard a man the other day on that ship. He is an entertainer, you know. When he said, I know something was wrong with the guy when he said we looked 8 years for a church and couldn't find one. I tell you why people won't find a preacher. They don't want a preacher. I tell you why people don't find a church. They don't want a church. Not only your name, but I tell you your needs. You need to assemble yourselves with the believers. I'm a better man this morning because I've assembled myself at the house of God. My girls ain't perfect, but they're better girls this morning because they're made to come to the house of God. They're raised with a drug problem. There's drug to church. Five-year-old ought not make up a decision if you're going to church or not. Last I seen, when feet's under my table, I call the shots. Some of y'all got all that backwards. All you got to do is turn the table over a few times and show people who's boss. Throw your fit one time, Daddy. Show people who you are. Just close the door, pull the window shades down, throw you an old-timey fit. Their name, their need. And then, thirdly, their nature. In verse number 29, I want you to look what they did. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Their nature. Not only are they a godly people and a gifted people, they are a giving people. They wanted to do right and help others. Thank God I'm in a church like that this morning. So Christian people, their name, their need, their nature. You always remember that. Peoples are looking at you. And boy, if we're wearing the name of Christ, we better be trying to wear it to the best of our ability. Peoples are looking. So a called people, Christian people. Now, thirdly, I really feel like this is the whole root of the message this morning, probably, and next 3-point and 4-point. Not only are we a called people, not only are we a Christian people, but I've noticed this in serving the Lord. You ready? We're a cross-bearing people. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, for me today over in Luke chapter number 23. And I want to show you something about this cross-bearing people. Miss Julie, I want you to be getting ready to sing me an invitation song here in a little bit. But in Luke 23, and I want you to note this cross-bearing people. The Bible said in Luke number 23, now Jesus is headed to Calvary. He's done went through Pilate's hall. And he started up that long road to Calvary's hill with his cross. And the weight of that cross got so intense upon our Lord. The Bible said this man, he's pulled out of the pages of time. And he is imprinted on our Bible in verse number 26. And it said, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. Preacher, what you thought? We're cross-bearing people. Notice it is a handed cross. Have you ever been just going on in your life and everything's going well and all of a sudden you encountered an unexpected cross? It may come this evening by a phone call. It may come by one of your children come in. It may come from your spouse, your husband or your wife. Well, you may get down at your job in the morning and all of a sudden you found an unexpected cross. You may be coming home tomorrow night from your job and all of a sudden you find an unexpected cross. We're cross-bearing people. We find here that this cross was handed. And then secondly, we find that this cross is heavy. I do pretty good with light crosses. But I've noticed, Brother Dennis, what a heavy cross does to me. They get heavy. I mean, ain't it amazing that everything the sun's a shining seem like when the sun is the brightest? Here comes a cross. Lays it on our shoulder. You know, it's pretty good when y'all all toting a cross and I come around and I say, now listen, it's going to be all right. But when the cross is laid on your shoulder, it becomes a heavy cross. And I won't say it will always be a hurting cross. Jesus got on the cross And they put it through his hands and his feet. But I've noticed our cross touches our heart. Hurting cross. I won't tell you, friend, that the cross that Jesus mounted is not that cross that a lot of people's got around their neck. It was a rugged cross. It was a handed cross. God handed it to the Son that He may take that cross for His people. It was a heavy cross. Oh, He could hardly bear it. It was a hurting cross. I noticed the Bible said that there was blood running down off of that cross. You ever had something come to suck the blood out of you? You ever had something come in your life? Everything was going good and all of a sudden it just took the wind right out of you. Unexpected crosses. I don't know about these boys on TV said, well, if you serve God, you'll have health and wealth. It ain't in your Bible. You better go to reading over there, the oldest book of the Bible over there around Job. You'll find there was nobody like him. God took it all from him. It's a handed crawl. I wonder, has they been a cross handed to you? Is it heavy? Handed cross. Heavy cross. Hurting cross. But I want to say this. It is an honorable cross. I'm a better man this morning because I've had a few crosses put on my shoulder. I'm a better man because they've been heavy. Got me some strength. Ain't it amazing when a Christian becomes weak, then they become strong. It's a hurting cross. Man, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes that cross gets in the bed with me. I have to sleep with it. And Brother Mike, it's so big I can't tell it to scoot over and give me room. It just lays right where it wants to lay. It's a hurting cross. But it's an honorable cross. I want to say, you ought to be proud today that you're a Christian. That you can carry that old cross. You see, in this family, we're great people because of a call. We're called people. We're to be a Christian people. We're a cross-bearing people. Everything ain't going to be lovely. I've heard more lately since probably Christmas. Well, I thought if I'd serve God, preacher, I thought. Now, He's going to show us if you're real or not. And He's going to show you, are you real? See, if you come, make a little old profession, honey, and that cross comes your way, oh, you can get away from that cross. But if you want His and really carrying that cross, you'll soon find out, and we'll soon find out who the Simons are. It's easy to serve God when everything's good. The bank account's full. All the bills paid. What about you that are tithing and you can't hardly make it? I wonder what the devil says about that. He's told me more than once, if you'd keep that money, you could get ahead. He said, why in the world would you want to get up there and run and holler? He said, them people don't love you. They all think you crazy. Why you want to come back to church on Sunday night? Just eat, drink, and be merry. But it does pay to serve God. I got stuff money can't touch this morning. What you got, preacher? It took a while to get it, but I got it. Cross-bearing people. Then last, I want to say this, Miss Julie, won't you come? We're conforming people. You know, one of them crosses come to me and you. Make us like Him. I got to looking this morning in this text, and I noticed this about that cross-bearing people. They become a conforming people. Romans 8 and 28, are you with me? Are you getting any help this morning? Watch this now, Romans 8, 28. We know. Well, how could you know? Because you got to experience it. I can tell you all the time what I know, but you're not going to know it till you know it. We know. And this is what's amazing to me, Pastor, and the people, that all things work together. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foredestinate to be, here it is, conformed. You know what that word means? Fashioned to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. What you thought there, Pastor? We're to be conformed to His reflection. You see, when people look at me and you, it ought to reflect Him. He said, after you believed and you were saved by the grace of God, He said, yeah, I've predestined. I predestined you to be conformed to the image of His Son after you believe. He never predestined you to hell, never predestined you to heaven. No place in the Bible do you ever see predestination until after a man believes. I tell you what He wants from me and you, be like Him. Conform to a reflection. And then notice the other thought. Romans 12 and 2. He wants us to be conformed to a renewal. He talks about the mind. Your mind is some kind of playground. If I didn't have my mind, and I know some of y'all think I probably ain't got much of one, but my mind is my biggest enemy. Look what He says. He said in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. He wants you to be conformed to renewing. He wants you to quit thinking the way you used to think. Some of you are thinking the only way you're going to get ahead is to have something down here. But I'm going to tell you how you're going to get ahead is to be with Him there. Amen. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and a perfect will of God. He said, listen, if you let your mind run you the way it used to run you, He said, you ain't going to prove nothing. But when hard times come, you got to have the mind of Jesus and say, all things are for His good. Renewing of your mind. In other words, He says, you ought to not be thinking like the natural man. You ought to get in here and go to thinking like Christ. You ought to go to thinking about what really matters. Mom and Dad, do you think it really matters to teach your kid how to hit a ball? How to excel in this life? You better be teaching them something about dying and living yonder. Lastly, not only are we to be conformed to a reflection, to a renewing, but we're looking at Philippians 3 and 10, the last place I go. Philippians 3 and verse number 10. This is what Paul said. And boy, that's amazing right here. You're talking about a message. Here's a message. You ready? God, I wish I could just lay down and go to sleep and be there today. He said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Boy, look at this. And the fellowship of His sufferings. And here's that word. Being made conformable to His death. We ought to be conformed to a relationship. Paul said, though, that I just may know Him. I tell you how you'll get to know Him better. Heavy crosses. Hurting crosses. Paul said that I just may know Him. There's a man that give everything he had to know Christ. There's a man that didn't have much here, but he had everything. I can tell you what His desire for us this morning is to have a relationship. And it only comes by heavy crosses. Some of you just got saved. You've known Him that way when everything is great. Now you're going to get to know Him with a cross. But I want to tell you this, keep your chin up. He loves you this morning. And He loves you so much, He's not going to let you stay the way He found you. You can take it to the bank. If you want His, He's getting you ready for there. Whatever you need this morning, my sister sang, I asked you, would you come? Are you dealing with an unexpected cross? It's there to conform you. And if I know anything about pastoring this church or preaching in the Holy Ghost, God, give me that verse for this service today. Would you come while we sang this morning?